get the show on the fucking road?
You know it.
Let's do it.
That was really sexy.
I try. Last week was all burps, so we have to change it up.
You're right.
It's strictly burps and like maybe one fart. It's fine. So, hello out there, people of the world. Hello, how are you? How's your day going? Is it good? I hope so. Welcome to our show. Welcome back to our channel. It's a channel. It's fine. Welcome to the 50 Worst Dates podcast, a show where we talk about bad dates and feminism and sexism and life and the fact that I really need to go take a nap. So this is going to be a short and sweet episode, y'all.
By a nap, do you mean like go to sleep?
Sleep for at least 8 hours at a time. Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Yes. I need at least 8 hours. And if I don't get 8 full hours, I am not a person and didn't get my 8 full hours last night because I was busy.
Fuck it. Well,
what can I say?
My average is like 6, so.
I don't know how you exist. I don't know how that works.
I don't know.
Yeah. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
This is a sleepy episode, guys. So maybe, actually, I feel like this is going to be a pep talk episode of sorts. So this is a good morning episode. We're going to be sleepy. You should be ready to take on your day. Let's do this, guys. This week, we are talking about some pretty basic questions in 2020, but questions that I feel the need, to tackle all the same. So like last week, we talked about social media cleanses. The week before that, we talked about resolutions. I think this January is really all about topics about bettering yourself and those things that might be on your resolution list. Because this week, we're talking feminism and finances. Because, like, are you a feminist if you refuse to pay on the first date? Can you, like, do they revoke your card? Is it petty to dump someone because they're broke or out of a job? Should the man make more money in a relationship? Or does that at least make things easier? These are questions that we have answers to for you. And we're going to talk about it. We consulted science. We consulted the internet. We consulted ourselves. And we have some vast and varying opinions, I believe, about how this is going to go. So, shall we get into it, Amanda?
Let's do it.
Oh, and who are we?
Well, you know, that's a question I've been asking myself for a very long time. Who am I?
Oh, who are you?
My name's Amanda.
And I'm Katie. Welcome to 50 Worst Dates.
On that note,
on the coolest beans notes,
let's talk about money.
Talk about money, money.
Cardi
money.
B has a song about it. I love it.
There's an ABBA song about it. That's more what I was thinking about. But, or you could read this as money, not money. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. You do what you want. You interpret this how you feel. Because I feel like I did some digging, I did some research, and I didn't get answers that I wanted to hear or see, but I'm still going to go, like, and talk about it. But this all started, we always get our episode topics either from you guys or ourselves or just, like, general life things that come up. So oftentimes people come to us and they ask for our advice. Either because they know we have this show or they don't. Like, honestly, I feel like people just ask me questions all the time, not knowing that this show exists. And recently a friend came up to me and opened with, "I know this will infuriate you." And I sat back and grabbed my tea so I could sip this tea because it was some hot fucking tea. And then he explained to me how his female friend was dumped by her boyfriend because she made more money than him. And these were two recent college graduates who were clearly getting majors in different things. They went out and got their first out of college jobs. And somehow this guy saw her like bank statement on her phone, like was looking over and like saw that she got paid and discovered that she makes way more money than him and felt so emasculated that he dumped her.
That's stupid.
And like, when asked, like, why are you ending this? Like, what was the problem? We didn't have problems. It emasculates me that you make more money than me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You don't want a man like that anyway. So.
And my immediate response was like, glad that the snake showed himself because fuck that guy.
But like,
those snakes are still people that you have to come in contact with. I mean, and they can suck all you want, but like, it sucks more to like learn that someone you really care about is that piece of shit.
True, but like, what the fuck? It's 2020. How can someone still actually think like that, you know?
I don't get it.
Like, I know that they're out there. I mean, there was a whole conference, what, on like teaching women to be women wives?
Again? Be good conservative wives and never have had sex, but definitely know how porn stars do things.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Duh.
But like, you need money to live and exist on this planet. Ideally, you make a good amount of money and have some leftover to spend on fun things or like save down for a future. And this is something that like in this day and age, I think most of us are told to do, whether we are male or female, is the expectation that you will be financially independent at some point. The vast majority of women are not told that they'll just like go from their father's home to their husband's home.
Yes. Contrary to popular belief, we don't live in the 1800s anymore.
Right. We are not the March sisters. We are not looking for the best husband so we can support our sisters. And women, they have hearts and feelings. And they're more than marriage.
I mean, you're close.
I feel like I really just sound like Winston Churchill.
Yeah, you do. You really do. A female Winston Churchill, everyone.
Saoirse Ronan or Winston Churchill?
You tell us.
You tell us in the comments
below. AKA, just tell us how Katie sounds. I mean, that was a good Winston Churchill impression. So, like, you can.
Thank you. I have so many skills.
You can add that to your resume, like make some meat. You should have been him in The Crown.
Oh, I could have been so much better than what's his face, the actual like Oscar nominated actor. So much. But aside from Winston Churchill impressions,
like, I'm doing the most like feminine thing. It's really not a feminine thing, but while we're doing this, I'm sewing.
Oh, good.
Like,
Neocrafts are truly the only feminine art form.
True. So, like, they are
continuously put down as non-art because they're done by women almost exclusively.
I mean, I'm literally just sewing buttons back on the clothes that fell off. So, it's like not that exciting, but
somebody's got to do it.
I've been putting it off 4 months. So, and it takes all of 2 seconds. I'm icing my knee like the old man I am.
Yeah.
And sewing buttons while we talk about money, which I don't have. If anyone has financial tips, let me know, because I'm really good at spending money and terrible at saving it.
Our call-outs from the Sugar Daddy episode still stand. We need sugar daddies.
Yeah.
But like ones that never want us to speak to them.
Yeah, like I'll send you pictures of my feet.
I'll go get pedicures so I can send you good pictures of my feet that you pay for. You pay for the pedicures, if that wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Financial independence. We are beyond our father's homes, but not yet in our husbands'.
Correct.
Correct. But like money, it's tough. And like, I know in my background, growing up, my dad still made more money than my mom, but it was still like drilled into me that I needed to be financially independent. But even like I saw as a kid growing up that like my mom was a nurse. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
And while she initially made more at the beginning of her career, as my dad rose through the ranks in what he was doing, he made more money, got more promotions, and where my mom was, her raises were inherently less. Like, that's just the way their careers panned out to be. But also nursing is a mainly women's career. So like when I was born, they like decided after a while that like my mom shouldn't work anymore because daycare bills were equal to like her paycheck, which is also fucking insane. Childcare should not equal a paycheck.
Also, like, daycares are scary.
They're terrifying spaces.
They're sketchy as fuck.
Yeah. That's not.
But, like,
what also, is the money going to?
Why is it that, like, women have to be the stay-at-home parent?
Why do women have to be the stay-at-home parent? And, like, I grew up in a household where the man made the money and the woman stayed home and raised the kids. And that's, I think, a narrative that a lot of people either see at home or are pushed by authorities or, like, the media. That, like, there are no stay-at-home dads. Name one stay-at-home dad. Cricket. Yeah. Yeah. I thought about it. Yeah.
Adam Levine is a stay-at-home dad.
That's it. Wait, like the Maroon 5 guy?
Yeah.
How is he a stay-at-home dad? They tore.
Not anymore. He like quit The Voice to be a stay-at-home dad.
Oh, that's adorable. I mean, I don't think they like want for money at all, but like, yeah.
Also, like, he can produce music in his home, I'm sure.
I'm sure he can. I'm sure Maroon 5 is still making music.
Maroon 5, aka just Adam Levine.
Just Adam Levine. But like, I really thought about it as I was putting all this together of like, did I have a working woman role model as a child? Cause like my mom didn't work. And the only one I could think of was Angelica Pickle's mom. And she was a badass. And I wanted to be her. I remember not like that character was built to hate cause she was like a neglectful parent. But you know what? I idolized Charlotte Pickle's CEO of Megacorp. I thought she was a fucking badass.
There you go.
And, like, going back to the initial problem that was bestowed upon me of, like, hearing this girl's story about how she was broken up with by some dude who didn't like that she made more money than him, this guy did not like that she made more money than him, and he probably didn't have the same feeling about Angelica Pickle's mom and that she was a badass. He probably saw her as a bad thing because that's how she was portrayed to be on the TV show Made for Children. And this is also a guy who, as I learned doing my research, guys, in a 2013 University of Chicago study, it was concluded that there is a 50% chance marriage will end in divorce if the woman makes more than the man. In the same year, an American Sociological Review published a study that stated men who do chores, i.e. women's work, have less sex. So you're more than likely going to get divorced, possibly because you have less sex because you're doing all the housework because you're not making as much money because you're the stay-at-home dad.
That literally makes no sense.
Right? I see a man clean a floor and I want to fuck him. There's like jokes about women's porn being just like men who do things around the house.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably having less sex because they're probably like like not forcing their wives to fucking have sex with them and they're doing more productive things with their life.
Right.
Like I am like, in a relationship and we do not have sex every night that we like hang out because sometimes we're sleepy. After a long day of work.
Yeah.
And like sometimes I'm not just going to have shitty sex, you know what I mean? Like I want to have good sex or no sex.
And that may likely be the unintended data that this like study didn't pop up or produce. and like continued going down this path. So we have the University of Chicago doing this study, the American Sociological Review doing this study. And I don't think this whole like men need to make more than women or the balance is off and society is broken problem will be gone until women just have better PR. Like, it won't stop being a problem until men see more stay-at-home dads. We need more Charlotte Pickles and more compassionate male role models. Like, one of my favorite, like, continuous sitcom actors is Adam Pally, and he is Dr. Peter Prentice on The Mindy Project. And his, like, going away arc when he gets written off the show is that he moves with this girl to Texas to be a stay-at-home dad. And eventually he like doesn't want to work. He likes hanging out with the kid more than he likes working. So he gives up working because that's where his like true passion lies.
Amazing.
And it's such a good concept, but you can tell it was written by women. Thank you, Mindy Kaling, but we need more of that.
Yeah.
Because Mindy Kaling continues working and she goes through a bunch of series of bad relationships until she really figures out that she doesn't need to be in a relationship. Or she questionably gets back into a very toxic one. You don't really know at the end, and I kind of hated it. But I loved the show. But women need to look less for a man to be the moneymaker and maybe just for the man to be a good person. But men need to do the exact same thing. And finding that person who sees eye to eye on how things should go and if you need to be a stay-at-home mom. Because I think we told like the really bad horror story of the serial killer guy I went out with who said I didn't love my mother enough because I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom like her. So you don't go on that date, or you do and you figure out that stuff real fast and you don't go out with that person again. There's also another scientific study that I found.
Because we love science here.
I love science. This gives me an opportunity to read through dissertations and like real sociological studies that I don't normally get to do. Like, I love looking at this stuff, and this podcast gives me that opportunity. And if you find it boring, I'm really sorry, but I'm enjoying myself. And that's really all that matters. This is a hobby. And so I really liked the name of this study, first of all. It's from 2016, but done by St. Francis College. And it is called, "It's Not You, It's Me." No, actually, it's you. Perceptions of what makes a first date successful or not. So in this study, subjects reviewed the most positive aspects of a date to decipher how we decide if someone likes us. Women's responses overwhelmingly showed that they found a date went its best when a man seemed his most interested. And that was shown by him asking lots of questions. And she got to talk about herself.
How?
I think I wrote this drunk. So women's responses showed that they found the date went its best when the man seemed to be his most interested, which is pretty basic. He asked her questions and she gets to talk about herself. And he talks about the future. And yes, if he offers to pay at the end, women found that it was signifying a small but noticeable investment and therefore attraction. What? So women were more likely to want to see a man pay at the end of a first date just because it shows that a good sign of there being a second date.
That makes sense.
Right. Men were the opposite but complementary. They felt that if a woman talked about herself and her life and her hobbies, it's because she's opening up and likes them. They felt that a woman is more attracted to them when they don't initiate physical contact, but instead respond immediately when it's initiated. But bringing up sex in conversation was fair game, and that was a sign that you liked him. So if you should not kiss this man should kiss you, and then you stick your tongue in his mouth.
Okay.
Like, which was wild. All this also, side note, was a super interesting study where women placed far more notes on kissing at the end of a date than men. And what I read into it was that women place a lot of value on basic date, like, cues and very romantic comedy style things.
Hi, Rocky. Rocky agrees.
To tell if the man likes you, rather than men are just kind of going through the motions to fuck.
Huh. Sounds about right.
Right. Like, this truly proved how different men and women are in straight relationships with science.
But it does and it doesn't, because it's all upbringing. It's all just cultural.
Mm-hmm. And these were like college students in New York City. So also take that into account. We do have consistently, studies are done by colleges. Colleges are populated by primarily affluent white people in a certain age range. So that does always skew these results. But I think our listenership is somewhat similar to the group that this study was done on.
Yeah.
So basically, the study found that you should offer to pay on the first date if you want him to like you, because that'll show an investment in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But who the fuck cares if he likes you? It came out that, like, all of this was people rating these qualities based on how much it showed that a person liked them, and it didn't reflect on if they liked that about that person. So this was skewed. It was dating as a game and dating for an end goal rather than dating to get to know someone. So if you really want someone to pay at the end of the date because it does show that investment and that they want a second date, I think you should really ask yourself why the fuck it matters. If that's what you're looking for, that you just want this person to go out on a second date with you, do you even like them? Do you even care? But if you're willing to split it down the middle, I found dating, if I was splitting it down the middle, it was either because I liked and respected this person, or it was because I wanted to have zero interaction with this person. It was on either end of the spectrum. Like, I want to pay for myself, so I have no reason to speak to you again. You won't even have to Venmo me for the time I wasted. Because those are horror stories where you see guys asking for the price of a coffee because the date didn't get them laid.
That's absurd. I would laugh if someone Venmo requested me for that.
I would ask them for double. Like, my time is worth money. It's worth more than a coffee.
Right?
Like, I get paid very, very well to listen to people's problems at work. I probably listen to plenty of yours, honey. So, basically, yeah. If he pays on the first date, don't expect it as some kind of a sign of investment. If you pay on the first date, don't expect it as some kind of investment. Do whatever you want to do. And if somebody gets offended by your behavior, that is off the bat a red flag of their how they conduct themselves. And if it's attractive to you or not, you need to look at that and seriously consider if you want to date that person. If you get so far that you are dating your boyfriend and your boyfriend sees that you make more money than him and he dumps you on the spot, well, fuck, girl, you dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens if that continues for the rest of your life and you're like four kids in and he's still pissy about it?
Well, no. At that point, you probably wouldn't be making more than him because you would have had to take off for maternity leave.
Yeah, at that point.
He probably would have expected you to be a stay-at-home mom.
Right. Because it doesn't make sense to have the real breadwinner be a stay-at-home parent. If the woman makes more... And it comes down to like my parents' situation of the cost of childcare equals one of our paychecks. Well, you're going to say that the one who makes less money and contributes less monetarily is going to stay at home. And that would have been him. And what that really boils down to is, honey, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're still a feminist, no matter how you want it. Because you're a person and you're dating people to find out who you're attracted to. So I feel like that is separate from feminism.
Yes and no. I feel like feminism is a part of every aspect of life.
And yeah, like, but like, I'm not...
Like, you can't like pick and choose what parts of feminism you want to like care about.
Oh no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like, if he's not a feminist, it will show... And, like, one of you paying for the other, like, you shouldn't feel bad and, like, I'm not a feminist anymore because you let this man pay for you.
Oh, yeah.
If that's what you find attractive and he can still, like, believe that men and women are equal and that feminism is intersectional, then let's call that a win.
Yeah. This is just like an interesting topic to me, primarily because when Katie suggested it, I was like, why do we have to have a top? Like, why? And like, I still kind of feel that way. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I understand why. I don't, I mean, like, I get why we're having this discussion, but in my head, I'm like, this is, I don't want to say it's a waste of time, but it's kind of a waste of time because it's 2020 and like, people should just be paying for their fucking part in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there are people that don't think that way. And I think that it is an important topic because to me, I'm like, well, this is just common sense. But to other people, it's like a big fucking deal. Obviously, like this girl like got dumped because her boyfriend is a fucking piece of shit or her ex-boyfriend is a piece of shit. So like good fucking riddance to him, right?
Right.
But
so, like, those people are still out there walking around with just as many like opinions and rights as we have,
which is probably more because he's a man, actually.
Right. So we have to reinforce the idea that like, if you think that that guy's a piece of shit, you're not crazy.
Yeah. But also just going off of that, like, yeah, there is this notion of like, can I be a feminist and expect him and still expect him to pay? And I feel like the answer is it's not yes and it's not no, because it's kind of a little bit of both and it just is depending, because nobody is a perfect feminist, much like nobody is a perfect anything. You know, we're all socialized a certain way and ingrained into a certain culture. You know, I grew up in a middle class white ass family, much like Katie's, where my dad is the breadwinner. And he certainly acts the part. I mean, he expects my mom, who is a woman with a master's in education, who teaches full time and like does extracurricular things at her school. He expects her to come home and cook and clean and all this shit while he can work and do whatever the hell he wants to do.
Yeah, because women are working just as much as men now, but also doing the emotional and home labor that they have always been expected to do.
Exactly. And it's, you know, how dare a woman want to, you know, pursue her career? So with that, like, it's bullshit, and no wonder my parents fucking eat out all the time. And it's because my mom is so fucking tired she doesn't cook, which I don't blame her.
Yeah. I mean, the whole concept of like having a meal ready by the time you get home from work, like, you and I working normal 9-to-5 jobs, like, that's not, you still have to come home and cook for yourself now. You don't have a housewife. All of society and like our working hours and so much of how we live our lives is built out of the expectation that you're a man and you have a spouse at home.
Yeah.
Like, my weekends aren't enough time to like get shit done and have social life most of the time. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah. One time my parents actually had the fucking audacity to tell me that they just want me to find a man who can support me financially. And to be quite frank, I can't remember the last time I dated someone who made more money than me.
I mean, I have, and it's really not all chalk. I think, especially when I was younger and quote unquote younger, like, this is not that long ago, I was like, really, like, not turned on, but like the boxes were checked if you made significantly more money than me. But you know what? Making significantly more money than your partner does, it makes you an entitled asshole. Like,
for some, yes.
For those who I have dated, it often makes you an entitled asshole.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, Katie, I remember like having discussions where you were kind of, you were still kind of struggling with that like societal concept that men should pay for everything when that wasn't happening, you know? And that was relatively recent too. So, I mean, like, we're all growing, we're all learning.
We're all growing. Yeah. No,
but I like my parents, I mean, they told me that I needed to find someone who could financially support me. And I was like, first of all, I want to be able to support myself because I don't want to have to depend on a man to like live. Like, it's fine if I do end up with someone who makes a fuckload more than I do, because it's not like I'm making a ton. I don't have a lucrative career, but it's just, it's absurd to believe that I need to just be reliant on this man. And to me, a relationship is a partnership, which is why I call my relationship, you know, I call my partner, because boyfriend and girlfriend denote these like terms, and it denotes gender roles in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. And part of that is like financial too. Like I was talking, and it's just, it's very interesting. And at the end of the day, like I make more money, but we both split the cost of just like being in a relationship. You know, if I buy dinner, he'll buy tickets to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because movie tickets are so fucking expensive.
They are. I mean, you're on each other's tab is what I kind of like refer it.
Yeah.
Refer to it. And I do that with my friends too. Like, I know you're good for the money. I know you'll pay for something for me. It's mutual. Like, I'm not counting how much you've spent on me, and I'm not assigning like some like emotional value to it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, it's very fascinating. And, you know, I just personally don't think that one person should be the sole financial individual in a relationship, you know? And it doesn't always have to be 50-50 either. I was talking, you know, like if my partner and I end up moving in together, which I anticipate would probably happen eventually, you know, I would probably or possibly end up paying a little bit more instead of 50-50 for rent because I make more money. And so mm-hmm. if we want to live in a nicer place, then, you know, I might contribute a little bit more.
You have to do what you have to do to have your lifestyle.
Exactly. And like, it's at the end of the day, it's still probably going to be cheaper for me than living alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, it is what it is. And so back to the question of like, can you still be a feminist and expect the man to pay? I think, yeah, you can. You can still call yourself a feminist, but you're kind of being a shitty feminist, because feminism isn't just supposed to benefit women. And something that is toxic for men is this notion that they have to be the breadwinner,
mm-hmm.
because that puts undue pressure on them. And heaven forbid they're not in a career where they're making, like, if their significant other is, you know, a fucking influencer or some bullshit where they make a ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, they make buku bucks.
And then you're, you know, doing good things, being, you know, say you have a male nurse, whatever, or a teacher, you know, they don't make good money. They're doing great things in the world and they're doing what they love. But at the end of the day, like, they're not bringing home the big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I think, sure, you can still be a feminist, but to a degree, like, you need to check yourself. If you're that upset because someone is not making more than you or paying more than you, then yeah, like, you, I'm not going to be here and say you can't be a feminist, but you need to check your privilege in that moment and check what you have been told. Because for a long time, like, when I was in past relationships and I was making more or whatever, I felt like my partner wasn't contributing like at all compared to what I was. To a degree, those were valid. But at the same time, like, I needed to check myself. Like, you can't expect a broke ass college student to be paying a ton of money for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have to have the right expectations. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So, question. We're in a situation as described in the St. Francis College study. If I'm a girl on a date and I want the guy to pay because it shows that he likes me, is that feminist?
I mean, I just think that that's a stupid, like, I feel, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Like, if he pays, that means he likes you?
Yeah, he spent $50 on dinner between the two of us. And I see that as him showing that he likes me. Is that still feminist?
I don't think so. I think it is to each their own, because like, they could be like the most socially aware person and then still think that fucking way. And like, I'm not going to sit here and tell them that they're like not a feminist, but I think that that's stupid logic.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that has anything to do with feminism. I think that that's just, and I think it's toxic. I think it's toxic for the man, because mm-hmm. you're saying that affection has a monetary value, which is inaccurate in my opinion. Like, I would much rather, you know, I came home the other day and my partner, he had stayed later because it was, I had a conference thing on Saturday. And so he was like sleeping in at my place. And I came home and my bed was made. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever, because making the bed is something I do every morning. And to have my significant other do that and then do it in the way that I make it as well, because I like put the pillows a certain way and all this stuff. And like, I have like a ton of blankets. And so the fact that he took the time to make my bed and he was like, yeah, I figured it'd be nice to come home to a made bed. Like, that meant so much more to me than if he were to be like, I bought you Taco Bell. Although I love Taco Bell, but like, you know, but it's also about love languages. And so like, to me, like someone doing the dishes or, you know, offering to cook when I've had a really stressful day or making the bed for me is so, that shows me that they care and they like me or love me versus, oh, they paid for my dinner. So I just think that that's flawed logic versus like, is that feminism? And I think it's toxic because you are saying that affection has a monetary value, which is like indicative of a much deeper issue. So, yeah, but I think that's hard. But on the other note, I did want to point out that like fucking leeches in a relationship are not cute by any means. And I think we can all agree. So if you've got your fucking person who is just mooching off of you and they make their own fucking money and they're not contributing a goddamn thing to anything, like, that's not cute. That's not sexy. Like, you need to grow up.
Yeah. If your thoughts on the fake wallet grab at the end of dates, because I feel like,
what do you mean the fake wallet grab?
So like, mooch tactic. You're not. And like, I've been known to let people pay for things because they just do. And I'm not going to, I'm broker than they are. And I'm not going to argue with it. But that like fake, it's the end of the date, it's end of date three or something. And you go, he goes, the bill comes, they put it in the middle of you. Oh, this reminds me of another story related after this. Put the bill in the middle of you. And they go to get their wallet. You go to get their wallet. But you kind of do it real slow. You kind of dig through your purse a little extra. And you slowly turtle-like pull it out. By the time that you pull it out, they have their card already on the tray. The waiter's taking it away.
I mean, I can't say that I've never done something along those lines. I'm also, I'll never complain about someone paying for my food. But at the same time, like, for me, I kind of just play it by ear. Like, if they set the bill down and, you know, the person that I'm on the date with or whatever, like, hasn't already gotten their card out or, yeah, like, I just kind of, you can kind of feel the room and be like, who's going to make the first move? Then I'll usually make the first move. But I feel like if a guy's going to, if a person is going to pay, they're going to, like, they've already set their mind on it, you know, from the beginning. And so they're not going to fucking take, they're not going to dilly-dally and take their fucking time. So I think regardless, like, even if you're slowly pulling out your wallet, hoping that they pay for you, like, at least at, you know, if something were to happen and they didn't fucking pull out their wallet, then you'd be paying for that meal. So
You're
still making an effort, regardless of if you are doing so begrudgingly.
True. Okay. Fair enough. So I like having the opinions out there. I like the discussion.
For sure. And I mean, it's just an interesting topic because, like, to me, it's just never been – it's always been, like, a non-issue. Unless, like, unless I feel like I'm being mooched off of, you know? Like, I'm contributing like, I always end up paying or, you know, things like that. Like, that would be irritating. But I also just personally feel uncomfortable with the idea of letting someone, like, always pay for me.
Mm-hmm. Unless it is uncomfortable.
Unless like, I'm dating like fucking Bill Gates over here, then I'm going to feel weird being like, yeah, you can pay for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like my last relationship was super transactional. My dad described it as transactional, which tells you how transactional it was. He even knew that this dude was like paying for too much. And like not paying for everything is uncomfortable. You feel like a mooch. And if you're not actively trying to mooch, you're aware of it and you feel like one all the same and you feel weird guilt about it. So pay for your shit. Also, I don't know if we have any like food service folks who listen, people who do like wait on tables, bartend, etc. Mm-hmm. But holy shit, if one more waiter puts a bill in front of my significant other that I'm going to pay and then hands my card back to him instead of me, I'm going to start not leaving tips.
Even though your card literally says Katie Coyle on it.
Exactly. Like this has happened multiple times. In particular, it happened most noticeably at this taco place that has since closed. And I'd like to think the gods were like, this place is sexist as shit and like struck it down. Because we got tacos and like I pulled out my card because it was way more expensive than we thought it was. And it was my idea. So I was like, no, I will take this hit. You buy the next round of drinks. It'll be fine. And I put my card down. Or like he gives me the bill. He hands it directly to my male counterpart. Instead of even like putting it on the table. It goes directly to him.
Naturally.
And he like hands it to me in front of the waiter. And, like, looks at the waiter as he does it. I take it. I put my card down. We put it back on the table. This guy comes back, looks at it, looks at me, making the connection that it's just my card. And then kind of looks at him like, oh, do you at least want to put your card down? And then I'm like, no, that's it. And walks away. Like, I had to tell him, I was like, no, that's the only card that's being put down. It's just mine. And then walks away. And then proceeds to hand it back to him when it goes back to the table.
Jesus. Rocky also believes that this is ridiculous.
It was so painful. So, if you work in food service or handle customer billing in any type of way, put the thing on the table. Don't hand it to a person.
Put the thing on the thing.
Because holy shit. And like that also, I don't know how this didn't come up in the notes because that's something that's happened to me fairly recently where I'm like so frustrated. And it does get into like people around you aren't necessarily overtly feminist or thinking within that lens. And you're going out there and you're dating and you're meeting all these new people and you didn't grow up in the same place as these people or you don't have the same outlooks on life. So how do you navigate it to make sure that you are getting the best experience possible towards your beliefs and towards your value systems, which for myself and Amanda, and I'd like to thank all of our listeners, is feminism. And how do you do that with your money? Because your money is really important. You made it yourself and you should do with it what you want.
Agreed. And additionally, you shouldn't use money as a means to provide affection. I think I kind of touched on expecting it to be, or like being like, oh, they bought me these things, so they must love me. If you're using a financial whatever as a means of affection, like, oh, if I buy them this new thing, then they'll forgive me for like royally fucking up or something. Stop like up. That's messed up. And that's messed up logic. And we've done that to you as a culture, but like that needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what will get them to not be mad at you is if you apologize and change your shitty behavior.
Yeah. If you behave the way they're asking you to behave instead of buying them televisions, that'd be ideal.
Exactly. So
she'll still have the television when she breaks up with you.
Yeah. True. Katie speaks on experience.
Yeah, there are reasons that I personally wanted to speak about this, and I feel like I have a lot more anecdotes than Amanda has, because Amanda, to her credit, is a boss ass feminist bitch and like doesn't suffer fools. Where I'm less of a boss ass feminist bitch, and I do occasionally suffer fools. So where she has kind of a hard line and very like, you're like genuinely educated on the literature, like you're out there doing the damn thing. And I am not necessarily in the weeds as much and as often. It's good to have those perspectives.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I wouldn't say entirely that I'm a boss ass feminist bitch, but at the same time, like, I just quite frankly don't give a fuck. And I think that gender roles are stupid. I'm taller than my partner. I don't fucking care. I probably weigh more than him too. Don't give a fuck. So, I mean,
if your partner's uncomfortable with shit like that,
I just feel. Yeah. Regardless of what you call your relationship, whether you call it a partnership or whatever, like, it should be in 2020, it should be equal. Like, someone shouldn't have something over the other. And I think that that's problematic because mm-hmm. you shouldn't be depending on someone financially. Maybe you might have to for a while, like, say you're going back to school or something and you're like, oh, well, they make enough money. Like, they can support us while I do that. That's different. But if you're just entire or like you want to be a stay-at-home parent, whether you're the guy or the girl, like, good for mm-hmm. you. But to me, like, A, I don't fucking want kids, and B, like, absolutely not. I would probably kill the children and or myself if I was a stay-at-home parent because I would go insane. Mm-hmm. But
I don't like kids that much.
It's just like, it should be a relationship should be meaningful to you regardless of finances.
Mm-hmm.
Because although money does kind of run everything, unfortunately, at the end of the day, like, it's your relationship that matters more than how much someone fucking makes.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a proper relationship that's more like a partnership, whether or not you call it that, then, you know, they're not going to see it as like, oh, I make more than you and all this weird stuff. Like, it's just kind of going to be like what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be our money. It's not going to be my money versus your money.
Exactly. And it's going to be our money because they trust you to like not be a dick about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know couples that are like married that still have separate bank accounts. And I find that a tad strange. And like completely separate. Like you pay the rent. I pay the car payments. They'll end up being equal.
Interesting.
Kind of stuff. Which is interesting. I get that it's like a pain in the ass to combine your accounts,
mm-hmm.
but it's also so strange to me.
Yeah. Or at least like if they don't have like at least one card together or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like be a mutual united, be a team.
Yeah.
Relationships are about being teams.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's our feminist chat.
Yay.
Yeah. And we come to the end of our episode. We're resolving to keep them shorter, guys. Look at us. And I have a very short, very sweet, nearly haiku listener mail. I count it as two syllables off, and I'm really sad about it. Thank you, Ellie. He collected orchids, praying mantises, and was also a felon. Clapping hands emoji. Oh boy. I want more of that. Please, yeah. If you could call out for haikus about the worst date you've been on, or haikus about just like terrible people in your life. Haikus. Yeah. Send us haikus.
Just write us some good poetry. Fun.
If you would like to submit your own worst date, horror story, sex mishap, boner blunder, feel free to submit named or anonymous stories to 50worstdatespodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs at 50worstdatespod on Instagram. If you think we're valid sources for advice and want to ask us questions, we'll take those emails and DMs too. Our goal is to base future episodes after stories that are not our own, so this one ended up being about a story that is kind of mine because it was told to me and I just relayed it to all of you, but also stories. Send us stories. We're not actively going on bad dates for you. We're not taking the bullet for that team. If you love our music, it's from benzound.com. And if you love our cover art, it's by Tori Scranton. You can find her at tscrantonart on Instagram and Etsy. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you felt a thing. Hope you learned about feminism. And we'll talk to you next week.